League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, Dana Holgorsen is joining us in studio here on the show. And if you want to get in to talk to the coach, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to. This one is busted. Should we try this one? Let's do this one instead, Brian, because this arm is busted on his microphone. How you doing?
Good.
Good to have you in here. We appreciate it, man.
You got it.
Did you watch the Astros this weekend?
Yeah, all three games. Pretty fun to watch. I went to the game, the first game against the Yankees. So that was kind of an exciting walk-off single by that young kid. And then watched the second one kind of a little bit here and there. We had an event at Yellow Rose, which this time of the year, you know, there's a lot of events.
Yeah.
There, but like a lot of kickoff things, get excited about the season and whatnot. And then watched Friday night with some of the guys and then both games on Saturday and Sunday. So it's been pretty exciting since the All-Star break.
But it's, you know, you go into those two series and you go, this is kind of a big deal. We're playing really well, but these guys are both teams that we have to beat, 14 in a row. The Yankees have the best record in baseball. And you go slap, slap, slap. And you are just, after you lose to the A's in a series at home, you go Yankees in Seattle, guess what?
Yeah, it's a long season, right? The Yankees stuff was fun. It's always fun beating them because everybody hates the Yankees. You know, and then the Seattle thing, you know, clearly they had won 14 in a row, so they got a good young ball club, but we kind of had to show them who's boss.
Well, how gratifying is it when you have a team, you know, you could beat up on Lambs, but when you have a team that steps up in the bigger situations and is clutch, you know, that is, for a coach, has got to be about as gratifying as it is.
Yeah, it is. It's frustrating also. It's that, you know, that's kind of been, you know, what I'm not saying what's wrong with the Astros, but if you got a little bit of a weak link here in the last couple of years, it's not playing good against some of the weaker opponents, you know, but you know, that's sports and that's coaching. You know, you'd rather have, you'd rather not have a bunch of front runners that beat a bunch of young teams that aren't very good and then choke it off when you play the good teams. So I'd rather have it this way for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Dana Holgorsen's with us in studio on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's talk a little bit about what you've been doing. You say events, and I don't think people understand what you guys do. And I know from a fact you're trying to build lives here. Okay. You've got a lot of kids in your program that come from you know, tougher places where they don't have a lot of experience, and you guys are trying to train them. And you did. Can you talk about what you guys did on Friday?
Yeah, I can talk about it. I took them to, it goes back to, you know, building, you know, good, solid young men, you know, and teaching them values in life. So we started this process back in January. It doesn't matter that we were 12-2 last year. It doesn't matter who our captains were last year. It really doesn't matter who our starters were last year. Although if you started last year, you should probably be able to start this year. Although we do bring a lot of kids in to the program that have a chance to be able to compete as well. But my point is, every year is new, okay? And we're undefeated, but we don't have any wins either right now. And that's the case, you know, every year. And so one of the things that we try to do is try to figure out who our team is. And we take about 25 or 30 of the top kids and start teaching them how to be leaders and start teaching them how to be captains. you know, and that process usually whittles itself down to about a dozen or so kids that are kind of in that conversation, you know. And so we let the team vote on it, voted on four at the end of spring ball. Clayton Toon, Donnie Mutin, Nathaniel Dell, and Hassan Hippolyte were the four that were first voted, okay? And then, you know, we go through summer and we vote on a couple more. Now, based on what those votes are, I mean, I may add one, I may add two. It was pretty close with four guys, so I added four more. Javarius Owens, a safety, Christian Trahan, tight end, Patrick Paul, an offensive lineman, and Derek Parrish, a defensive end. So those are the eight guys that are kind of the heart and soul of our team. You know, back in the good old days, you had like two or four captains because all you really did with those was send them out to the coin toss.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of their main job, right? So that's turned into something much, much, much more. You know, everybody says player-led teams are the most important teams and the most successful teams. And, you know, that's true. I mean, there's always, you know, the head coach role and then, you know, offense coordinator, defense coordinator, and assistant coaches. But none of those guys that I just mentioned are ever in the locker room. And so you need good, strong presence with guys in the locker room. So, you know, wearing that C on your chest as one of those eight, we're trying to teach them what it really means, you know, and not just the best players, not just the one that goes out for the coin toss or talks to the media before or after the game, but what's really getting things done in the locker room. It's been very impactful, and it's a big commitment on their part, you know, so we want to reward them. And I've done this for about 5 years in a row now. Is, you know, we take them to a clothing store, which, you know, Lucho in Uptown Park was gracious enough to host us and kind of teach us a little bit of what the importance is of being able to look good. You know, when you're going out and you're presentable, which all these guys are about to start meeting with GMs. They're about to start, you know, interviewing in the business world, whatever it is. And you got to teach them how to do things the right way. So, got them all dressed up, took them to the Post Oak on Friday, you know, had some meetings in the afternoon, and then went over to Mastro's and had a nice fancy dinner. So it's kind of a reward, but they're also learning some things too, you know, about what it's like to stay at a five-star hotel, you know, and walk through the lobby and walk, you know, in front of a whole bunch of people that are very important. And, you know, make impressions on people that can help them somewhere in the
future. A lot of these kids haven't been to a good ever been to a nice restaurant.
Yeah, and yeah, or, you know, been in a nice clothing store, or you know, learned how to get fitted, you know, so they look good and they look sharp and they feel good. Gives them some confidence. It's also a bonding thing for those guys too. You know, Daryl Bauer, our strength coach, myself, Doug Belk, Ryan Dorchester are kind of the ones that teach this class, this captain class, about leadership. So we all went with them, and it's a good bonding thing for us 12 too, because we're about to get into some heated battles here, you know, and the closer we are, the better it is.
From the moment spring practice ends until, I guess, you start camp, what do you expect of those captains outside of the day-to-day, all right, guys, we're working out, we're doing this? What is the main thing you look for from a player-driven team, excuse me?
Well, you know, not really, you know, coaches are at practice. Right. So if we see something we don't like at practice, coaches can typically handle that. Now, sometimes the players do it, but they got to kind of worry about their own job, too. And if they're out there, you know, doing what they're supposed to be doing, they may not see specific things. So it's really, you know, what's happening behind the scenes. I mentioned that locker room because they spend a lot of time in that locker room, and they, you know, they go to class together. They may be up in study hall together. They may be down in the dining hall eating together. So, you know, these guys need to understand who our team is, and they're going to recognize, you know, when guys come in a good mood or when guys come in a bad mood, or if somebody's struggling, somebody's going through things at home. That typically hits our players before it hits our coaches, you know, and obviously if the magnitude is big enough, coaches need to get involved, and obviously we do, but if it can get nipped in the bud by players, that just makes our organization function better.
Oh, absolutely. Dana Holgorsen is with us here in studio on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, and we'll talk about the football side of a lot of this stuff that he's talking about on the other side right here. Don't you go anywhere, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Dell, along with Brian, here in for RJ. And Dana Holgerson is in studio with us. If you got a question for him, you can give us a call, 713-780-3776. Or you can tweet the show, at John Granato, at DellV2. And you can ask the question that way if you've got something that you want Dana to answer. I saw Clayton over at Lucio's with you. And you and I have had many Clayton Toon discussions.
A few.
And Clayton Toon took a turn last year. I think I'm not going to be as
watch it.
I'm not going to go Joe Burrow.
Okay.
I'm going to go Kenny Pickett.
Still a Heisman finalist and a first rounder.
Yeah. And I think that, listen, you saw it in Clayton when he wasn't playing well. You just knew that Clayton Toon was a good quarterback. You have got a quarterback right now that can, and he made a difference last year getting 12 wins. You got a quarterback this year that can propel you to great heights. First of all, was there something that turned? And secondly, am I being overzealous in my praise and what I think that Clayton can achieve this year?
No, I don't think you are. I think you're on the right track right here. Clayton's got a chance to have a really good year. You know, struggled early last year. Was fighting another hamstring. Confidence wasn't great, and he worked himself out of it. And his last 9-10 games were pretty spot on. And our team got better throughout the course of that as well. What's funny is this made sense to me the other day, and it made sense to Clayton as well. David Klingler was one of the guys that came and talked to the guys at the Post Oak on Friday. And, we all know that story, right? Him and Andre come in at the same time. Andre wins the battle. I didn't realize this, but Klingler had Kansas basketball. And, he was a 7-foot high jumper, 24-foot long jumper. I mean, this dude was a heck of an athlete now. And Andre Ware won the job. Klingler played defense. His redshirt freshman year, moved back to offense, backed up Andre. Andre goes to the NFL. David's junior year was one of those record book type years. Was probably going to be one of the top picks in the draft at the end of that year. Stats were off the charts. I can't remember their record. I think they're a 10-11 win team, but was pretty good. He came back for his senior year, and they were 4-8, and his stats were down. He lost four of his offensive linemen, right? So my point is he lost some of the receivers that he threw to the year before. I think the four that he had as a junior were close to being the same ones that Andre had as a junior, and then so he had a lot of new parts around him.
So you're saying he should have gotten out early?
I'm not saying he should have done that. I asked him that question. I said, if you were going to be one of the top picks, that doesn't happen. He goes, coach, I couldn't see myself not finishing this. I couldn't see myself not playing with my teammates one more time, And he goes, I knew eventually it was going to work out. So, say he was the first pick of the draft after his junior year. Well, he was the sixth pick of the draft after his senior year, So what's the real difference? Not a whole lot. He just felt that strongly about coming back. My point is you need to have pieces around you that are pretty outstanding to be outstanding yourself. And there's been a lot of times where Clayton has snapped the ball here in the last couple of years, and we haven't had very good people around him. Our first 2 years, we had 20 different offensive lineups in 20 games. That's unheard of. There was zero continuity. For 20 games, there was zero continuity. Last year, we started getting some pretty good continuity right there. We had the same offensive line lineup 14 out of 14 games, all right, which that's pretty unheard of as well. Had guys like Tank Dell start coming on. Alton McCaskill started coming on. Tazon Henry started coming on. I mean, heck, Jake Herslow, you know, took over for Keyshawn Carter once Keyshawn Carter got hurt. So the pieces started coming together. We got all those pieces right now.
You know? Christian.
Yeah, got Christian Trahan back. You know, you got Keyshawn Carter back. You got Tank Dell back. Our O-line is going to have four returning starters. You know, so really right tackle is the only thing that we got to replace, which we got a couple of transfers in from Texas, Middle Tennessee, a couple of guys returning that have a chance to compete against that. So I think we're replacing guys with better bodies, the guys going out the door, for the exception of like Marcus Jones and Logan Hall. The guys going out the door, which we had about 20 of them, which you guys know of about two or three from the NFL draft, but 16 other guys who are no longer going to play football, I think are being replaced by guys that have better bodies and are more talented. So if you give Clayton confidence, which he's really improved himself drastically in the last 7 months, Jordan Palmer has been a big part of that. Fifth-year senior, a lot of experience.
He won the Manning Camp Award, right?
He did, and there's and every one of them was there. You know, I got a picture I can show you that on a whiteboard. It has virtually every college quarterback in the country with like checks for who like won. You know, there's anywhere from 0 to 1 check on a lot of them, and Clayton had like 6 up there or something like that. So he beat out a lot of good people for some of that. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. I mean, it's a step in the right direction. Does that mean he's going to win the Heisman? Well, absolutely not. But he will have something to say about that. He's very confident, 6 foot two, 215 pounds.
Is that all he is, a 6'2"? It seems like he's 6'4".
Yeah, he may be 6'3".
He's a big dude.
Well, our strength staff like is, you know, crazy on like undersizing people.
Yeah.
So if we got him at 6'2", the NFL is probably going to put him at 6'3". I kid our guys about that all the time. But my point is he looks good. He is 100% healthy. He knows his body better than he ever has. He's in very good shape. He's confident. And the pieces around him are better. So I'd be surprised if he didn't have his best season yet.
You mentioned Logan Hall, Marcus Jones. So you've got the first day pick, the second day pick, 12-2, the Big 12, all this positivity. Has the message changed when you're trying to attract people to your program, or is it always pretty much consistent as far as what you tell people and why they should be Houston Cougars?
A little of both. You know, our approach has been the same. You know, when we first got here, you know, I'm like, recruit them all. If you don't get them because they say they want to play Power 5, don't get mad at them. Just keep that relationship strong. We've seen a lot of guys that we recruited that we wanted that flat out just said, look, we love Houston. We love the city. We love you guys. Everything's great. I just want to play Power 5 football. And I was like, don't get mad at those guys, man. Like, and the list is pretty big, from Hassan Hippolyte to Tazon Henry to Keyshawn Carter to newer ones like Joseph Manjack and Brandon Campbell, you know, Lucas Coley. A lot of those guys decided to play Power 5, and then once we go Power 5, they come back. So that's been positive. And then the other thing, and we're not done getting guys that like that. I mean, that's going to happen again next year and the year after that as well. But what's been a little different is we've been in those same conversations where those guys can't say that, and then, boom, all of a sudden you land Matthew Golden. You know, you land a pancake cutter. You land, you know, guys that could go Power 5 that decide to stay here.
How worried are you not having Alton McCaskill?
Yeah, it's a concern. I mean, Alton was the freshman of the year, you know, was our featured back. You know, you can't replace him. You know, we hope that Brandon Campbell can fill a void when it comes to that, but
He's
the USC kid, yeah, who's from Houston, who was a highly rated kid, you know, just had some things go on, didn't play his senior year, didn't play last year. So he hadn't played in a couple of years, so, you know, I hope he can fill that void. He looks good right now. Tazon Henry will be our starter. Tazon looks great. You know, he was a big part of our offense last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect his production to be higher next year. He's not very big, but he's extremely tough. You know, so I think he can handle whatever we throw at him. But you need 2, 3, 4 backs, you know, to be able to get through a season like that. So we need Brandon to fill a void, you know, and then we got some younger kids, you know, that have been in the program for, anywhere from 1 to 4 years that need to step up and play, you know. And, you know, that's why camp's so important, is we get out there and watch him play, see who's going to step in to fill that void.
And it's so funny, you really were careful with Alton in that. And I was wondering, why are you giving four the ball? Why are you giving Taysom when you got Alton, you know? But you were right. You wanted to make sure that he didn't, you know. And then he hurts his knee. And what was it, the first play of the spring game?
Well, it was like the first scrimmage. I think it was practice number 8 or something like that. You know, and he didn't look very good in the beginning of spring for whatever reason. I don't know if he was pressing, if he was sore. I don't know. And then he started working himself out of it. And our first scrimmage, he really looked good. I think this was practice like 6. He really looked good. I'm like, okay, he's back. And then 2 days later, you know, he's in the hole and he makes a cut in the hole and just drops. I mean, it was a non-contact.
That's knee. The worst.
That which, I, as a coach, you're like, what could I have done to prevent that? Well, the answer is nothing.
Yeah.
That's just the risk that we play, you know, the risk that we take playing this game that we love. I mean, that's just the risk of injury. I got to have that conversation with a lot of our guys throughout the course of the whole year, you know, so... but all, you know, last year with Alton, I mean, I thought we managed that right. You didn't want to get him wore out too early. You didn't know how much he could handle. Well, it turns out I could have probably threw a little bit more at him because he's such a physical kid, and he could have probably handled a little bit more.
Before we go to break, Matt wants to know, where can I get one of those hats that you're wearing?
They should be in the bookstore. I don't know. I've been asking the same question. I get them from our equipment manager. You know, I think
it's the logo.
It's
the finger thing.
Yeah, don't get on the internet and get the knockoffs. You know, the ones that people are copying. There is Trade Right, which we've shut down a couple websites because of it. They should be in our bookstores. If they're not, I'm going to get mad and make sure it happens.
It's the finger thing. Go Cougs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the FUT. Right.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, that too. Right. Yeah. That's what it is. that's
where it started. Person for the school, FUT. Well,
if that's what it is, that's how you know which finger. It's not that finger. It's the one that says
it depends.
Throwing
on
up the H,
yeah,
that too will work if you want to throw that out there.
No, it's really honestly the cougar paw,
right?
that got its finger stuck in its cage and yanked it out of there and actually ripped half its finger.
That's the story behind it.
No, it's believe a, which it's one FUT.
Believe which one you want.
Are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dana Holgerson is with us in studio. If you got a question, 713-780-3776. We'll get to the Big 12 in just a minute. Let's talk about your schedule. Starting this season, last year you started with Tech. You got Tech second. This year you start with UTSA, who's a good football program. That's a good football program. You start with two good football programs to start the season. Let's talk a little bit about, okay, going to UTSA to start. How'd that – well, did you just walk into that?
Yeah, it's been on the schedule for a couple years. They come to Houston next year, I believe. The year after, in 23, I believe they come here. So I think that was just a home and home that's been scheduled for a while. It makes sense to me. I'm glad we're playing them. You know, especially with Big 12 on the horizon, you know, what our non-conference schedule looks like. You know, and the Big 12 has been proposing this for a long time, and pretty much everybody follows the model. But it's going to be, you know, one Power 5, you know. So, well, you know, I couldn't even begin to think who that would be right now, but a Power 5 school, because conference realignments, I don't know who the heck's going to be in our conference, who's not going to be in our conference, but say like Arizona would make sense. You know, Colorado and Utah are both on our schedule in the future. Now, we've all heard those rumors and stuff like that. Does that remain a non-conference game, or does that become a conference game? I mean, nobody knows the answer to that question. And then play a group of five, which you might as well play a group of five like UTSA, like Rice, SMU, North Texas, you know, something regional that makes sense for travel and makes sense for our fan base. And then you play a FCS school. you know, which, you know, we don't have one of those on our schedule this year, which is unfortunate. We should. We don't have one of those on our schedule next year because Sam Houston State is moving up to 1A, you know, so I don't, we need to play in FCS. We need to play like a Prairie View. We need to play.
You want to do it local, Texas kind Southern, of close to, yeah.
You know, one that makes sense like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Northwestern State, McNeese State, something like that. So that's what the model needs to be moving forward. You know, as far as where we're at this year, you know, we're still American, and American is the only thing that we're thinking about right now. You know, our schedule is basically the same thing as it was last year. You just flip it. So our road games are probably going to be a little tougher this year. You know, and it's road games off the bat. You know, UTSA is coming off a 12-win team. They won their conference. They got a lot of momentum. You know, they got their starting quarterback, Frank Harris Jr., who's been there, you know, as long as Toon's been at Houston, he's been at UTSA. Got some really good receivers coming back. I want to encourage Houston to get excited about that game, okay? I drove over to the Final Four game when Houston basketball was playing over there, and we had a really good following. You know, we had a bunch of people that went over that made that trip. This should be no different. It's a home game for UTSA, but we know how to get tickets. And our fan base needs to get tickets, okay, because that's going to be a rowdy atmosphere. That dome over there gets extremely loud. And if they got 90% of the fans, that's going to be an advantage for them. That ain't no different than Texas Tech coming to Houston last year. That was a neutral site game, but Tech got behind it and bought a bunch of tickets, and it was pretty much a 50-50 crowd. You know, that worked into Tech's favor. So we need to get that mentality about UTSA and go over there. That's going to be a heck of an atmosphere and a heck of a football game. You know, and then we go to Texas Tech, which, you know, they got some momentum. Everybody thinks Tech stinks right now, and I want to remind everybody that they, you know, one, they beat us, and two, they beat Mississippi State in the bowl game, and they won 8 games last year. And they got a new coaching staff, and they're fired up about where they're at as a program. Just announced a $200 million, you know, facility upgrade, you know, for their day-to-day stuff. So they got a lot of momentum. So that's going to be difficult for us, but we're excited about that because that's going to be an every other year game for us. So we better get used to doing that. We come back, we play Kansas and Rice. You know, Kansas beat Texas last year towards the end of the year. They're getting better, you know, and then obviously Rice is for a trophy. You know, that's a game that should be played every year, and it's for the Bayou Bucket, and that game's going to mean a lot to us.
And I see, well, last year you kind of got screwed with the schedule. You played every 5 days or 6 days or
that was year one.
Oh, that was year one.
That was year one. Okay. Yeah, we never got our feet underneath us. That's
yeah.
We
didn't this year though, it seems like
it's more normal.
Yeah. You got two Friday night games and luckily it's good to have them back to back.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We got two short weeks, potential short weeks. I believe that last game against Tulsa is probably going to be a Friday game, but I'm okay with 6 day, a 6 day, week every now and then. When you do 4 in a row, it gets tough, you know, and then when you have some 5 day weeks, it gets challenging as well. This is pretty normal, you know, and I mentioned those first 4, they're all non-conference. Those all matter. You know, we got 8 conference games last year. We won all 8. Problem is the Cincinnati did too. And so that one loss, didn't get us the home field advantage, you know? So, you know, what you do in that non-conference, it doesn't have any impact on whether you make the conference championship or not, but it has an impact on whether you host it or not, you know. So, you know, the 8 teams that we play next year are the same in conference that it was this past year. You know, the problem is our road games are probably a little tougher at SMU, at Memphis, at East Carolina, and at Navy. Those are 4 hard road games, and they always have been for the Houston Cougars. So, that's going to be challenging, but you know, our goal is to get to the conference championship, and you know, if we want to have a better chance to win it, then we need to host it. You know, that American Conference Championship's been played, I believe, 9 times, and 8 times has been the host team, and all 8 times they've won.
All right, let's talk a little bit about going to the Big 12. Are you seeing a difference in the kids that you're recruiting? Are you seeing an upgrade because of that?
Yeah, you know, the trick with dealing with that right now, which I got to talk about it in the media. I got to talk about it at booster events. I got to talk about it when, you know, asking you know, our fan base, our alumni, our donors for money to get, you know, our own building off the ground.
By the way, big ups to you giving up the first million for the $150 million improvement.
Well, you know, when I came here 4 years ago, I said, this is it. I'm staying. And, you know, I think that, well, hopefully that proves to everybody that my heart's in the right spot when it comes to that. So, you know, if that puts us a little bit closer towards doing what I know is absolutely critical and mandatory if we want to be able to compete where we're going.
Then, a nice $10 million anonymous donation this weekend.
Yeah, and we got some more coming. You know, my goal is to get us to 40 as quick as we can. You know, and yes, I'm in a lot of those conversations, and I make a lot of those asks as well. Our Cougar Pride and Chris Pesman does a great job of helping us out with that. There's no question, but I got to get it to where we're moving dirt. You know, and you know, fortunately, we're there to the point to where we've hired an architectural firm, and we're about to start planning. Now, the next phase is. And I'm about to do this here in about an hour and a half, is have our first meeting with the architects to be able to start designing that building, you know. And, you know, it's going to be important how that thing's laid out. And it's going to be important that we do it the right way to the point to where our players are excited about what's happening. So, you know, that it's going to be critical. To finish my point on the Big 12, I don't talk about Big 12 to the 2022 Houston Cougar football team. They've never heard me say it. You know, it's always about the next game. It's about the next year, you know, and then it's about the next game again. So I've already talked to him about UTSA a little bit, but I have not really mentioned the Big 12. That's all behind the scenes, fundraising, ramping things up with what our budget looks like, with what, you know, with what the salaries look like. You know, all that stuff's been behind the scenes, and it's going to have to remain behind the scenes for another 5 months, you know. And then once January 1st hits, you know, and our season is over, the 22 season is over, then we can move on and start talking about Big 12 after that.
Does that mean anything to the coaches? Because you talk about salaries as far as future coaches or current coaches. Does playing in a Power 5 mean anything to your coaches?
Yeah, I think so. It certainly, it did for me, you know, in talking to a guy like Doug Belk, you know, with in our administration, you know, they gave me a 6-year contract and, you know, made it right to the point to where I was comfortable with, you know, signing a 6-year contract, which is going to lock me up for quite a while. I got the largest buyout in the history of college football. So,
is that a flex, John?
Man, I don't know if it's a.
Look at these. Well, Dana, I got the big, largest buyout.
Well, I don't know if that's a flex or if that's, you know,
it's stupid.
It was stupid. Okay, well, yeah, you guys can sort that out. But my point is I'm going to be around for a long time, so we do have great continuity. And, you know, there was a commitment from our administration on getting our assistant coach salary pool up, not to where it's competitive in the Big 12, but on that way, you know, to where we could, you know, give Doug Belk a big contract and not lose him to a Power 5 school right now.
Which, so, yeah. By the way,
I'm aware.
By the way,
I'm aware they were interested.
Miami. The Canes wanted him bad.
Well, I'm
and
aware.
We're offering a lot more than you were, and Doug Belk decided just to stay here. And
that
says something about his commitment here.
Yeah, that's accurate. And, you know, it's going to be a year-to-year thing with assistant coaches. It always is. But, you know, we were good and didn't lose anybody last year, and being able to pay him a little bit more is important.
Was that huge, though, too? Not losing anybody?
Yeah, it was big. Yeah, it's big. It's that whole continuity thing that's never existed around here at the University of Houston. You know, when you see, you know, what Kelvin Sampson's doing with basketball, where their continuity is off the charts. You know, it has been for 6-7 years now. You know, us going into to the fourth year, you know, which you count COVID as one of the four, because it did count, although it was tough. You know, fourth year, these guys have been hearing the same thing for 4 years now. They've been hearing messaging from me. They've been hearing operational stuff from Ryan Dorchester. They've been hearing strength and conditioning from Daryl Bauer. And then obviously offensively, defensively, and special teams has remained the same. Even though, you know, we switched DCs and we switched special teams coordinators, the language and what we've been running has remained the same. So that's continuity at its best.
Dana Holgorsen's with us. We got one more segment to go here with the head coach of the Houston Cougars right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, News of the Weird is brought to you by Simple Seeds. Better prices, no fees. It's that simple. We have a celebrity News of the Weird participant. Dana Holgorsen is with us in studio. So we got some questions for you, Dana. So you've heard News of the Weird before.
Yeah, I've heard
it. You've heard News of the Weird. Let me ask you this question. There's a man in the UK who claims a ham roll has left him unable to stop farting. Have you ever had uncontrollable farting from a ham roll?
No, but my general manager, Brian Dorchester, has been known to
get
into that type of a situation.
Yeah, from ham rolls.
Really, not even that, just pretty much anything.
Oh, he can fart on at will. Nice job, Dor.
I'm sure he's glad you stayed for the segment.
And can I tell you, that's a lot nicer than a lot of things they say about Dor. There's a $15 Velveeta martini. Do you want a $15 Velveeta martini at any point?
I don't want a free Velveeta martini.
You don't want any Velveeta martini. At restaurants now across the country, Velveeta martini.
What restaurants? Who's serving this?
Velveeta. Listen, they're doing it all over. A Velveeta martini. It looks pretty good.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Don't want any part of that. You fish. Have you ever had a 100-pound sailfish jump out of the water and stab you while you're standing on the boat?
No, but I've seen it come close.
What did Logan catch this year?
He got a striped marlin, and he almost jumped into the water when that thing was in the boat. Like, we got that thing off the side.
That spear
was going right for him.
No way.
And the guy finally grabbed the spear and kind of straightened it out, and then Logan just hung in there. But if you look at that picture, my boy was screaming at the top of his lungs because he thought that spear is honestly going to go right through his leg.
All I saw was him holding it, and everybody's like, look what Logan caught. Look what Logan. And I didn't hear the backstory where he was screaming. Like,
he was screaming.
That's
just look
Instagram
at the picture.
Versus reality, John.
Yes. And the funny part about that is like for the first half of that whole exchange, Chad Clay was trying to help, but was literally trying to pull the fish. I don't know where he was trying to pull it, but he wasn't trying to pull it the right way. I got pictures of that, too.
There might have been a Coors Light involved there. A chess robot in Moscow broke the finger of its human opponent. Do you think,
out of anger,
at any point will we be overtaken by robots?
It's a matter of time,
especially
John.
Chess robots because they're smarter.
I don't think it's going to be 20 years from now before the. Well, I'm watching a Westworld right now.
Oh well,
I don't think we're that far away.
No, we ain't that far.
We're doing too much. We didn't learn from all the sci-fi movies that told us to knock it off. We still keep going.
We still do it. Okay, let me ask you. The Italians, okay, check this out. The Italians have broken the record for changing a tire on a moving car. Do you feel like the Italians are the greatest athletes in the world right now?
I don't know if changing a tire makes you an athlete.
See this? Look at this. While they're driving around, dude is changing the tire. And the Italians do it better than anyone.
They should.
Do you feel like we deserve?
Well, you know more about Italians than I do, John.
Well, yeah, of course I do. I am Italian.
They need to get those guys on the Ferrari F1 team because those guys keep screwing up. I don't know what those guys are doing. Put them on the Ferrari F1 team.
By the way, our family picnic is this weekend. I'll be in Chicago for that. So just wish me luck that I live through it. All the Granados and Cristiano Italians in one
I'm
park.
I'm wishing people around you luck, not you guys.
This woman right here claims that she was kicked out of a grocery store because she's too hot. Do you feel like she shouldn't be able to buy groceries?
What was she wearing in the grocery store?
I don't know if she's wearing this, but if so, I don't think she should ever be kicked out.
He's always, what does she look like before he makes any decision?
Right. Oh, well, I'm not going to arrest her.
What is she getting arrested for? Being too attractive?
No, she got kicked out of the restaurant because she's too hot, she says.
I don't know
if she was wearing
that. Is her name Holly Saunders?
Her name is not Holly Saunders. Do you think Holly Saunders shouldn't? A Cincinnati woman has been accused of hitting another woman with a toilet seat. Do you feel like that's a great weapon?
I mean, it's readily accessible. It's not considered a deadly weapon, is it? So well, you avoid that charge.
Well, it depends. Was Dor on there farting beforehand?
I don't know.
It's kind of got a frisbee look to it.
Yeah.
You might be able to keep some distance.
You can do some damage with a toilet seat. Okay? I kind of feel like that's not a bad way. That's not a bad to attack that way. Apparently, in North Poland, apparently a homeless encampment is being charged for rent. Do you think it defeats the purpose of a homeless encampment to be charging them for rent?
Who's the landlord there?
I don't know.
What are you grabbing from these people?
I don't know, but apparently they're like, hey, this is why we're here. What do you guys mean we're getting charged now?
Land is expensive.
That stuff is expensive. Well, Dana, we appreciate it, man. That's News of the Weird right here. That's the first time you've been part of News of the Weird.
No sex robot story for Dana today?
No.
We
lightened it up for Dana a little bit. All right.
I don't know what to think of that, to be honest.
That segment?
Yeah.
That's the greatest segment on radio.
Yeah, it's good. Some's good, some's
good. Hey, best of luck. When you start?
Well, first, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's always fun. We got recruiting's open, so coaches will be up there all week with the recruits. We've got a camp on Friday and Saturday. Going to wrap it up with our players here this week. They go home Friday for about 5 days and report a week from this upcoming Wednesday. So here in about 9 days, it'll be every day for about 5 months. But we got a few more, a few more off days, a few more functions, a few more golf rounds.
Yeah, best of luck. And yeah, take those days off while you can, and we will be close to it all season long. And Daniel will be here, brought to you by HRP Chesting, Ford and Damaris Barbecue, all season long, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, we appreciate you being with us, and best of luck this football season. We're taking it. We are done. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Vanessa and Gallant next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.